Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who together with the Father and the Holy Spirit is one God, the triune God, dear fellow redeemed. Probably the first bike that you learned to ride as a little child was a tricycle, a steady three-wheeled bike. One pretty popular card game is Uno. You cry out Uno when you get down to one card. Take the first syllable of that bike and combine it with Uno and you get the word triune, three in one. This morning we're celebrating the festival of our triune God, also called the Festival of the Holy Trinity. It is the last holiday of the first half of the church year, called the festival half of the church year. And it is a unique holiday because all the other holidays celebrate an event. This one celebrates a teaching, a doctrine of the Bible. It's purposely put at the end of the festival half of the church year because this time we look back upon all the festivals that have been taking place since the 1st of December, all those special services, all those holidays, and we see what this triune God has done for us. In somewhat the same way, the Apostle Paul concluded his second letter to the Corinthian Christians. The Christians in Corinth had some of the same problems that we in our modern day churches have today. Some of the members followed the preacher rather than the word that was preached. Within the congregation of Corinth, there were cliques of people gathered here and there, as there are today in congregations, which causes distrust, lack of love, because they don't talk with other members of the congregation. They're kind of with their own family and friends. Also, many congregations today have lost their first love and have allowed the worldly way of living to get into their hearts, as was Corinth. Today, there are people who say that I have the right of my own body, even at the expense of the unborn child, or that God has created me the way I am, that I want to sexually express myself with someone of my own sex. And some pastors even perform, in the name of God, wedding services, same-sex weddings. There are also churches today who will not discipline their members who are living in open public sin. Also, there are pastors and teachers today, as there were in Corinth, who not only debate but openly deny the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Jesus. And instead, they promote human wisdom, human reason, human philosophy, rather than the simple wisdom and the simple truth of God's word. Unfortunately, the congregation in Corinth was plagued with many of these things too. So as Paul writes this letter to the Corinthians, and we read the end of it this morning, it applies so very well to us today as we celebrate this festival of the Holy Trinity. The Apostle Paul lays upon our hearts what we call the apostolic benediction: love from God the Father, grace from God the Son, and fellowship from God the Holy Spirit. Our section of Scripture this morning begins with a farewell. Paul writes, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort." Those two statements are passive imperatives. An imperative is a request, more like a command. But it's a passive command, which means allow something to be done to you. It's not like saying, fix your hair. It's like saying, have your hair fixed. Have someone do that to you. So Paul is not saying, complete yourself, comfort yourself. He's saying, become complete and be comforted. The question is, how does that happen? Well, the answer is, put into action all God's words that you've heard me write to you in my letters, the Apostle Paul is saying. The word complete literally means to be restored to your former condition or be equipped with all that you need to be complete. And intrinsic in that Greek word is to be changed. To be changed in order that you're restored to your proper condition. Well, mankind's proper original condition was what? Perfection. Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. Doesn't mean they looked like him. They were perfect and righteous, just like him. In thought, word, and deed, perfect. And then sin came into the world. And everything changed. Sin totally corrupted our bodies, our hearts, and our minds. So that our thoughts, our words, and actions no longer glorified God and were God-pleasing. They now were selfish, self-centered, and sinful. So that since Adam and Eve fell into sin, every single baby is born dead in sin, blind to God, enemy of God, headed for hell, a child of Satan. There is nothing we can do that pleases God because of our sins, apart from Christ. And the worst thing is, we can't do anything to get us out of that hopeless, helpless situation. But the gospel of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection has changed everything. It's restored us to that proper condition so that we are now spiritually complete. We've been changed. We've been declared not guilty through Jesus Christ. We are spiritually complete alone through faith in Jesus. With that same good news of Jesus' perfect life and forgiveness, life and resurrection, we have the assurance of forgiveness of sins, which comforts us. So, God has done it for us. We are complete through Jesus. We are comforted by Jesus. Paul continues in our section of our sermon with two more imperatives. He says, be of one mind, live in peace. But these are active imperatives. These are something that we should be doing ourselves. For the Corinthian Christians to be in one mind, it means to set their mind on the same thing, on Jesus, on following Jesus. So if you've been comforted, you now set your mind on being comforters and live in peace. That's the harmony and peace and love that a Christian congregation is to have with one another. God, Jesus, the head of the church, wants all of his body parts, all of his members, to be living at harmony with one another. Not in animosity, not in jealousy, not in anger towards one another. We're to be in loving harmony and peace with one another. A oneness with members, not backbiting, not gossiping. There's to be a willingness to be of one mind and one heart because we are all our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul says, it can only come about when the God of love and peace is with us. And when that happens, that the Lord's selfless, self-sacrificing love fills our hearts, we'll be moved, we'll be compelled to want to live selflessly, lovingly toward each other and for each other. But then looking out for the interests of myself, my own concerns, my own desires, I'll be moved to want to look out for your interests, and you as well, for each other's, and for myself. And then Paul says, we will also greet one another with a holy kiss. That's how they greeted each other in Paul's day. I guess we would say today, greet one another with a great big hug. You know, we shake hands at the end of the service. That's not just a mere formality. It's a symbol of the love and concern that we have with one another. The love and concern that I, as your pastor, have for you, and hopefully you for me, and for each other. Not just saying, how you doing, but I care for you. I love you. Your concern is my concern. Your cares are my cares. Your joys are my joys. Your sorrows are my sorrows. We care for each other in success as well as in failure, in living as well as in dying. Paul now closes with what the church commonly calls the apostolic blessing or benediction. Most every Sunday we use the benediction or blessing that comes and is found in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's what the Lord Jehovah said to his people in the Old Testament through Aaron the high priest and all the following high priests when they ended their worship services in the temple. This is now called the New Testament benediction or blessing, apostolic blessing, which is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The love of God the Father. That was proved to us in his eternal counsel when way back before time began in eternity, he planned our redemption, our salvation, the redemption of every single lost person, of every single sinner. And it was seen by his sending and sacrificing his only begotten Son. What an amazing love that is. Through Jesus, God the Father made us to be at peace with him. This rebellious people that we were, and that we sometimes are. He accepted us as his children alone because of his Son's sacrifice for us. What tremendous love the Father has showered upon us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's seen in his incarnation. He left heaven's throne, came into this earth, and became a human baby, just like you and I. But not for himself, for us. He allowed his Father to lay all of his laws and commandments upon him, and he kept them perfectly. He allowed his Father to damn him on the cross and suffer and die on the cross to pay for our sins. He rose from the dead. He triumphantly ascended on high. He now rules over all things, intercedes for us, and says, I'll come again and take you to be with me someday in paradise. What tremendous grace the Son has showered upon us. And then the communion or fellowship of the Holy Spirit is that wonderful power the Holy Spirit uses in the means of grace, the gospel, both in the word and in the sacraments. First, the Holy Spirit uses that law to convict us of our sins, show us our lost condition, that we by ourselves cannot earn salvation. We're going to go to hell. And then the gospel creates faith in our hearts to believe in Jesus and keeps us in that faith. And that fellowship then is between us and the Holy Spirit and between us and us. You and me, each other, as we live in fellowship and love with one another. That's the kind of fellowship and love and support that we share with one another as like-minded Christians. In all of our sorrows and all of our joys. That common bond of the Holy Spirit leaving us through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ is so very, very precious. And we, not only as members of Peace to Christ, but as brothers and sisters in Christ, as Christians, are to express that love to each other on a daily basis, not just weekly, praying for each other during the week, thinking about the elderly in our congregation, thinking about the young people in our congregation, Think about those who are looking for a job, those who are moving, those who are having children, those who are getting married. Think about those who maybe are going through problems. Praying for each other, greeting each other, supporting one another. The hymn writer puts it so beautifully when he writes, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares." What tremendous fellowship the Holy Spirit has showered upon each of us. As we look back upon this church year, we see the activity of our triune God in all the past holidays. But as we look back upon each of our own many years on this earth, we also see the many activities of our triune God in our lives, as well as in the life of this, our congregation, Peace Through Christ. May the Holy Spirit, who has brought us to faith, led us to be in this blessed fellowship with one another, as brothers and sisters in this congregation, move us to go out and tell others about the triune God. Tell others about Jesus, their Lord and Savior. So the Holy Spirit has some work to do in their hearts too with the powerful gospel. To create faith, to bring them into this fellowship, so that they too can be our brothers and sisters in Christ, children of God, through faith in Jesus. That is our prayer. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.